How are you guys doing today? Good? Let's pray. Let's pray again. It's so good to see people get baptized and just new life in our church. Father, we're just so thankful. We're just so thankful to be here this morning and be a part of experiencing new life in your kingdom. And we just thank you for these lives, and we just thank you that of what you're doing and how you're bringing kingdom impact through us. And we want to give you all the praise. Jesus, receive all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. We worship you. And just guide this time as we go into your word, and we pray that you would speak to us and you would minister in your power, in the power of your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about kingdom impact and about having kingdom impact in our community. God's really blessed us with great opportunities to serve him and build his kingdom. And so this morning, I entitled the sermon, Believe. And you could turn to Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29. That's going to be our passage today. So Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29. But I wanted to start off with an illustration just to help us get thinking along the lines of the passage and what it talks about. Is there any female here who you grew up with two or more older brothers? Is there anybody here with that dynamic? Two or more older brothers? Okay. Lily and just a couple over here. Okay, I wonder what it was like for you, but I just want to share a little bit about the dynamic in our family. Many of you know I have three kids, so Silas and Levi are boys, and they're older, five, and Silas is five, and Levi is three, almost four. And then there's our little daughter, 18 months old, Jubilee, right? And so she's grown up with two older brothers. And I first wanted to say that Silas and Levi really love her a lot and really have tender care towards her. But there are also really crazy moments at the same time. And so I just want to show you one picture that I think illustrates kind of the life that Jubilee has grown up. I couldn't tell in this picture if Jubilee was crying or laughing. But let's just say that along the way in her short life of 18 months, there have been some tears that have been shed. Just kind of crazy growing up with two older brothers that are really active. And so, you know, when situations like this happen, I would say that Jubilee has really only one option, which is to call out for me, call out for help from her father, that I would come and rescue her, and if I need to, straighten out her two brothers. And I give this as an illustration because I think along the way in life, there are some situations, right, where we feel like this, pulled in various directions, hanging in the air, not knowing what to do. And of course, God tells us to call out to him, right, that he's the one to come and to rescue us. Today, when I bring us to the passage in Mark chapter 9, Jesus is saying exactly that to his disciples. He's telling them, he's preparing them for the long journey ahead. Crazy things are going to happen. And he's preparing them, and he's teaching them, he's talking to them about calling out to the Father in their times of need. All right, so Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29, and this is a kind of a longer passage, so can we read it interactively together? So can we have the women, can you read the first slide, and then men, if you can read the second slide, then women, the next slide, and then we'll just progress like that through the passage. Okay, so Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29, so women, if you can read along with me first, and then men the second slide, and so on. All right, women, let's read together. When they came to the other disciples, all right, men. Thank you. Right, so the first thing I wanted to point out was this scenario happened towards the latter part of Jesus' ministry. So leading up to the point of today's passage, Jesus had cast out multiple other demons. And the disciples were there with him. He was modeling for them. He was also the perfect teacher, right? So he was training them in this, preparing them for their future ministry. And so up along the way, up to this point, the disciples had seen Jesus model and teach them about casting out demons. But the difference in today's passage was that Jesus was not there. I wanted to kind of help illustrate and to convey what was happening in this passage with the What Would Jesus Do movement. How many of you guys are familiar with that? The WWJD bracelets, some of you back. It goes back to the 90s when it became popular. And it's even now, the movement is still going strong. And so what would Jesus do? These bracelets that people put on. I would say that there's value to that movement. It's, you know, we think about what Jesus would do in certain scenarios that we encounter that helps inform our decisions that we make. But I also wanted to point out that I think that there's value to the critique of that movement too. And the critique of that movement is the question isn't really what would Jesus do, right? Because he's already come to this earth, lived a perfect life, modeled ministry, modeled a perfect life, taught his disciples, left behind the word of God to train us. And the question really is, what would we do? What's our response? And that was the situation that the disciples were facing. The question wasn't about what would Jesus do. Jesus had already demonstrated it many times over what he would do. He had also taught them what they were to do. And the question was, what were they going to do? And I feel like that is a good word for some of us here this morning. Also, it's a good word for our church in this season where we're talking about kingdom impact, living out the kingdom life. That it's not what Jesus would do. What he would do is what is be perfect. What he would do is live out the kingdom life as he did. But what would we do with the kingdom opportunities that are in front of us, maybe in front of us right here this morning, maybe that are coming up this week to make decisions about God, make decisions about standing out for the truth, making decisions to love our neighbor, making decisions maybe like we talked about a couple weeks ago, to sacrificially give and sow into the kingdom of God. The question is, what would we do? And so let's look at this passage to see what the disciples did in response to this really crazy situation where this severely demon-possessed boy came in. His father is saying that he needs help. He needs healing. What are the disciples going to do? So verses 28 and 29. Can we read this out loud together? What did the disciples do? What would we do? Verse 28 and 29. Let's read this together. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." So we know that the disciples were not able to drive out the demon. And Jesus issued a pretty strong rebuke here. Right? He said, this kind can come out only by prayer. This is shocking. Right? Because the question is, well, then what were the disciples doing? If they weren't praying to cast out the demon, what were they doing? Were they using some hokey method? Sprinkling some fairy dust to try to cast out the demon? What were the disciples doing? And so let's look a little bit more closely about some of the other things that Jesus was saying in this passage to find out what the disciples were doing. Were they praying or were they doing something else? What were they doing to try to cast out this demon? Let's read verse 19. Let's read this out loud together. "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So Jesus was calling them out. Maybe they were praying, but Jesus was calling them out for their unbelief. He was saying, maybe you're praying, but are you actually believing that a demon is going to leave as you pray? So he was calling them out on their unbelief. But let's also look at verse 23. And Jesus here speaking to the crowd. He's also speaking to the disciples. Verse 23, let's read this out loud together. "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." So Jesus was calling them out on their unbelief. And Jesus was saying, if you start believing, if you start praying the kingdom into people's lives, and that the kingdom would come. He said, everything is possible. Now, that's a strong word, right? He didn't say some things or many things. He said everything is possible if you would start believing as you pray. He was calling them to prayers of faith, to prayers of belief, and he was giving them a promise about massive kingdom impact that they were going to have. Everything is possible, he said. Now, I want to show you about a 30-second video that I think illustrates well what Jesus was trying to communicate to his disciples and to that crowd. All right, the situation in this video is, some of you guys remember, in 2016, in the NBA Finals, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they went down 3-1. They were on the brink of elimination, and they would lose the championship. And their backs were up against the wall. No team up to that point, and I think there were some 30-some other teams that had been in that situation. No other team was going to be able to come back from that kind of a deficit. And so their coach, Tyronn Lue, was in the news conference, and the person asked him about what he said to the team to prepare them for the next game. All right, so this 30-second video, short clip of how he responded. This is the coach and what he said to his, if I could call them, disciples, players, about what they would do when their backs were up against the wall. And here's what he said. Let's take a look.
Tim over here on the right.
Tim Reynolds, Associated Press. Ty, everyone knows what the numbers mean when you're down 3-1 in a series like that and you have to go there twice, theoretically, all that. What do you possibly say to your guys after a game like that, knowing that the odds are now stacked as high as they can be against you?
If you don't think we can win, don't get on the plane. And I just think, you know, we got to come back anyway, so we might have come back and play. So we got to come back to Cleveland, don't we?
Wow, those are strong words. Already said, if you don't think that you could win, it's not going to work out. He said something beyond that, right, to his disciples. I can call them disciples, players. He said, if you don't believe, actually don't even get onto the plane. Don't even come to the next game. Jesus, of course, so lovingly, and I felt actually a lot of love from that coach too, right, as he was saying it, but Jesus so lovingly was telling his disciples, listen, if you're going to pray and not actually believe that the kingdom of God will come, you're actually already setting yourself up for defeat from the enemy. And I feel like that God wants to communicate that to our church in this season. When we're talking about having kingdom impact, living out the kingdom life, and he's calling us that when we pray for the kingdom of God to come in our lives and to come in our church, to see people get baptized, to see people get saved, to see people get healed, to see people come into the love and fellowship of Jesus, we got to pray in faith that it will happen. Believe that it will happen, lest we set ourselves up that we actually get eaten up by the enemy. God's calling some of us and stirring in our hearts that because some of us, as we're praying, are we praying in faith, actually believing that the kingdom of God would come? That even this morning, situations that we face and that we come here to church, that I actually believe that as we begin to pray for you, kingdom breakthrough would happen in your lives this morning. And the Holy Spirit would touch you this morning and invigorate in your hearts closeness with Jesus and closeness to his love this morning as we pray. You know, there's like so many different applications of this, of prayers of faith and prayers of belief. But I just want to bring us to one application, one specific application. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a sermon about financial giving, sowing into God's kingdom. I want to bring us back real quickly to that closing passage that I brought us to, 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. And I wanted to say this. We can only be real deal Christians, a real deal church that has radical giving, sowing into God's kingdom, if we actually believe that God is able to bless us abundantly. If we actually believe that he would give us all that we need. If we would actually believe that we would actually abound in every good work. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to fulfill verses 6 and 7. Because listen, it doesn't make sense to give and to so generously and to live off of whatever 90% of our income instead of what we're used to living off of 100% of our income. It won't make logical sense lest we believe in a God who is the greatest giver of all, that is able to bless us abundantly, giving us all that we need, even that we would abound in every single good work. That's the way that we will build the kingdom. But we need to be people and a church that actually believes that God, that Jesus is the greatest giver of all, the greatest provider of all, cares for our best interests, provides for us so that we can go out and do the works that he has called us to. And you know what happened to the disciples? After Jesus got them together on this and had a sharp rebuke to them about this, similar to Tyron Lue, honestly, to say that, listen, if you don't believe, you're setting yourself up for failure. Don't even get on the plane. And the disciples started believing. And something started getting activated in them. I mentioned that this was at the latter part of Jesus' ministry. And as they started believing, they started abounding in every good work. And the book of Acts was written. And the crazy, phenomenal, radical things that you read about in the book of Acts, because they actually started believing the power of the Holy Spirit was actually going to come as they went about the earth and started doing the kingdom ministry. And God's saying to us, if we be a church and men and women who would rise up and actually believe that the kingdom of God will come through us and come through our church, that's when we're going to be able to see the kingdom breakthrough in our lives. In the situations that some of us that we're facing here this morning, some of the kingdom opportunities that are going to start tomorrow morning at work, at school, in our families, and as we start believing that as we pray and as we press into the kingdom, that the kingdom of God will come, that is where the radical and phenomenal ministry is going to be going to happen in our lives and in our church. Some of you guys know Bethel Church up in Reading. And I was up there, some of you know, in October. And I remember the lead pastor, Eric Johnson, the son of Bill Johnson, he was sharing. And he said that, and by the way, for those of you who don't know, this is a significant outpouring of the Spirit upon that church and through Reading that's touching the nations. Healings every single day. Just phenomenal ministry that's happening through them by the grace of God. And so Eric was at a meeting, and they asked him, hey, what's different about your church? What's the key? So all the great kingdom breakthrough that's happening in your church that may not be happening at the next church. And Eric said, well, it's really simple. It's that we actually believe that when we pray, that God hears and God acts and God moves. I said, I don't claim to be the best and the greatest and largest church or most cutting-edge church. I'm not even sure if that's something that, you know, that necessarily that we're looking for anyway. But I do claim this, that we would be a church that actually believes that when we pray, that God moves. And we would actually believe that God's kingdom would come through us to do the most radical thing that whatever God desires. I do claim that for our church. And I actually believe that vision statement up there. I actually believe that God called us to lead people to passionate pursuit of Jesus and to massive salvations. Some of you are new to our church, and I want to tell you that I believe in humility that God would use our church in the next revival, that revival would come to Walnut, California, and that we would be a part of that, then that will touch the nations. I believe that God called us to that. That may seem crazy, but I'm telling you, I believe. I believe that that's what God has spoken, and I believe that God will make it come to pass. And I'm asking our church, would we be men and women that believe that prayers would be answered, that the kingdom of God would come, and God would accomplish the great vision that he's given to us. That's what God has called us to. And that's how we will live out the kingdom life and have the kingdom impact. I was asking the Lord how to close out this time. And I felt like the Lord said, well, Dennis, just pray for people, for needs that are here, and actually believe the kingdom of God will come. And I felt like the Lord said to tell the church, to tell you guys, hey, we're about to pray. Hey, let's actually believe that the Spirit of God would move and that there will be breakthrough. I know some of the situations in this room. Not all of them, obviously, but I know some of them. Some of y'all need some miracles, something supernatural, something that you know is beyond yourself or any help that any human being can give to you. There are some situations here this morning in those situations. I believe for you. I believe that the kingdom of God will come in your life. And I exhort you, according to this passage, to believe that the kingdom of God would come as we pray. Just one specific thing that the prayer team got this morning is just about stomach issues. So if that's you this morning, and we're going to pray for everything, but just the specific word that we got through our prayer team was about stomach issues. We believe for healing, for breakthrough, and for God's touch, and specifically that this morning. Can we come before the Lord in prayer? And let's believe. Can we all stand, a worship team, if you can come back up, and let's pray. Can we just all bow our heads, close our eyes, just give a personal moment for people to come before the Lord. Do you need breakthrough this morning? That you know that it's beyond yourself? It's beyond human ability, but you know that you would need a breakthrough of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father. So all eyes closed. Could you just raise your hand if you're like, yeah, that's me. Just all the way up. Just put it up. If you're like, yeah, I need a breakthrough of God. Can you just come up to the front right here? Just line it up. Let's represent your prayer request. And church, let's just believe. Let's believe that the Holy Spirit would move and the Holy Spirit would come and bring this breakthrough. So if you raise your hand, you need a breakthrough from God. We believe that the kingdom of God would come this morning in your life. So just come on up. Just line up. Represent your prayer request. Represent these things. Represent before God saying, I believe for breakthrough. I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is here and there's kingdom impact and kingdom breakthrough in the name of Jesus. And can we have some people come and pray, prayer team, and we'll probably need some extra people this morning. And I just call us, we're going to sing a song, and the song is that we believe. And so if you're out there and it's not time for you to receive prayer today, but that if you would join your hearts together with ours, that we believe in the power of God, in the power of God to do it now, to do it now, to do it now in the name of Jesus. Release your power and your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your mighty work. Glorify yourself. So, Father, we just thank you for this moment. We just thank you for this time that we're gathered together. And, Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to do the work that only you can do. Bring your kingdom impact and your kingdom breakthrough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We love you. Jesus, we love you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Receive the glory for these breakthroughs. Only you, Jesus, receive all the glory for these breakthroughs in Jesus' name.